There was a bill that was finally released yesterday. Yep. A few more details on the governor's transportation plan, which includes tolls. The most notable change is that lawmakers would be the ones to consider rates and changes, not the Department of Transportation or any transportation authority. Plus, all the money from tolls would go to the Special Transportation Fund. Well, I say that because that's what it says.
That's what it says.
But as from my firsthand experience, I kind of laugh and say, yeah, right. Lamont met with Democratic leaders privately last week on Friday, and they agreed on a transportation bill that includes 12 tolls on 6 state highways. There were plans for a public hearing, and they were kind of going back and forth on that. But now it may be more of an informational hearing, which may or may not include the public. Now, just to be clear, my friends, there's a difference between a public hearing and an informational hearing. A public hearing is when the public is giving an allotted amount of time to come up and offer testimony live and for the record. Or they could submit testimony, written testimony that can be put into the record. Okay? That is a public hearing. And believe me, as a person who was a member of the former legislature, I can tell you this, that the general public is usually given 3 minutes with a short leash. In other words, if you're wrapping things up at 3 minutes and you've got a couple of more sentences to go, they'll let you finish it. But don't start a point at the 3 minute mark. An informational hearing is just talking heads, trying to sell you propaganda. Okay. And then they're talking about a special session vote Monday and Tuesday. Now you're saying, well, why is there an and? It's because the bill exists as one copy, an original. So both chambers, the House and the Senate, they cannot take up the same bill at the same time. So my understanding is it would begin in the Senate on Monday and then be transferred to the House on Tuesday at an added cost, by the way, of roughly $25,000 to $30,000 per day.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, understand that. It's per day. And then the regular session begins on Wednesday. To discuss this more in detail, let's bring in our next guest. We know him. We have him on all the time. He's one of my favorite former colleagues. His name is State Representative Chris Davis. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Gary and Brad.
Hey, Chris, always great to have you on this program.
Always great to be with you, Brad.
So listen, the language of this draft of the transportation bill was released yesterday. Have you had an opportunity to comb through it yet?
I did. Last evening, we got it late last afternoon or early evening, and I had the chance to at least read it through once or twice here. It's about 32 pages long, I believe, so it wasn't light reading for the early evening, but I was able to take a look at it.
And what is your initial interpretation of it?
Well, I think that there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. Goes throughout the bill. It talks about setting up tolling on the 12 bridges that are identified throughout the bill, similar to what's been reported before. But some of the ways it's going to be done and operated is kind of questionable in many ways. You have a scenario where the money is going to be deposited directly into the Special Transportation Fund, not held in kind of a separate account. So the money from this toll revenue is going to go into the Special Transportation Fund and theoretically be used for whatever purpose within that fund, that transportation purpose within that fund, and not necessarily go directly to fixing those roads or bridges that are being tolled.
Well, then they're already getting off on the wrong foot with as far as dishonesty is concerned.
Well, it opens the door for a few different scenarios there. By putting that money into the Special Transportation Fund, you could then free up that other revenue, revenue or DMV fee revenue to then be either diverted and sent to the general fund, as we've seen several times over the last few years, or a scenario where that money would be freed up and then used on other transportation purposes beyond just fixing roads and bridges and, doing commuter rail lines.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely right. I understand that it will not be the Department of Transportation nor any transportation authority created, a quasi-agency created by the governor, that will be in charge of the rates or any potential rate increases for tolls, that it would actually be left up to the discretion of the legislature. Can you speak to that?
That's actually inaccurate from my reading of the bill. Essentially, what will happen is there's a section early on in the bill that allows the Department of Transportation's commissioner to actually set the initial rate. And they give him a very big window. He can set the first rate at either $6 or go all the way up to $13 per toll trip in that initial rate. And then after that rate is set, then there is a transportation policy council that is established under the bill that would then allow that group of people to decide to raise that rate going forward. It is limited under the language of this bill, which of course can always be changed in the future, but it's limited in this language in this bill that they would not be able to raise it above the rate of inflation or the construction cost index in the future. But that policy council is 13 people, mm-hmm. only one of which is an elected official. So only one person has direct responsibility to the people of Connecticut, and that's the state treasurer under this bill. Six of the other 12 appointments would be done by the governor through either his commissioners or through actual direct appointments to people on the board. And only two of those 13 appointments are reserved for minority party members. Mm-hmm. So if the one party controls everything, like we have here in Connecticut now, mm-hmm. Then they will have 11 seats on this council, and the minority party would have two. Yeah. And that's exactly what situation we'd be in. So the Republicans would only have two appointments to this council, and Democrats would have 11.
Well, it says, but it's to be clear, it says majority minority party. So if the Republicans gained majority, boy, their own rule could come back and bite them in the back. But I have to move on because there's so many things that I want to discuss with you, and I probably only have about 5 minutes left. Okay, so to add more fuel to the fire, saying there are significant diversions in trucks that can avoid some of the tolls. For example, in East Lyme, trucks can get off at I-95 and take Route 161. In Hartford, they can take the Charter Oak Bridge to Routes 3 and 2 and get on to I-84. And I'll give you another example. In West Hartford, a toll on I-84 could be avoided, oh my goodness, in so many ways. There's so many different exits because they're pretty close by in that area to jump on and off from. So, of course, you'd be talking tractor-trailer trucks. At $6 a toll, they could hop right off the highway, go through the side roads, and then jump back onto the highway.
Oh, yeah, that's no question about it. And, you know, in the bill, they give some lip service to that. They say, oh, well, we prioritize fixing those bridges that are being tolled. And then if for some reason the Department of Transportation thinks that it's impacting local streets, then we'll prioritize those projects as well. So we'll take care of that. But I mean, you and I both know, Gary and Brad, that this is going to happen. Trucks are going to get off the highway, especially if they're local trucks, when they know the roads, and they're going to get off the highway and they're going to go onto those local roads to avoid paying up to $13 initially in each direction too. You only get told once heading in that direction per day, but it explicitly says that it would be told in per direction. So if you went one way in the morning and one way in the afternoon, you'd be saving yourself quite a bit of money.
Yeah. All right. So there is now, this is where I'm a little confused here. On Friday of this week, so just, you know, 3 days from now, is it a public hearing or is it an informational hearing at 1 o'clock? And now, you know, I spent two terms up there with you. Most public hearings, not all, maybe a few exceptions for, you know, weather conditions or whatnot. Most public hearings began at 10 a.m., but this is beginning at 1 in the afternoon. It's Super Bowl weekend. It's a Friday. It almost kind of tells me that they're planning this hearing by design because they don't want a lot of people to show up. Which has yet to be seen. So is this a public hearing where the public will have their 3 minutes to chime in about whether they're for or against tolls? Or is it an informational hearing in which you have a bunch of talking heads just cheerleading this and disseminating basically propaganda for why we need tolls? Which is it?
So my understanding is that it's a third option, which is a subject matter public hearing, which means that it's going to be, although there is a draft of this bill, it does not mean that the matter that can be discussed is limited specifically to the language within that bill. Yeah. So it actually opens the door for greater conversation about tolling in general. Or transportation in general, and that it would open the door for public participation. But what I have not seen and I would need to look into is, you know, how does the public then sign up and participate? Because, as you know, Gary, we're outside of the legislative session right now, so the hearing is really up to the chairs of the committee to determine the rules of how that committee's hearing is going to be conducted. It's kind of outside of the normal rules that we would have during the regular session.
Because a special session, by statute, a public hearing is not required. So as long as the legislature is not in for their regular session, the rules have changed a little bit. We're running out of time, but I've got to bring something else up. Before I even switch gears, folks, based on what State Representative Chris Davis just mentioned, I would get yourself ready. And this no toll CT movement, here's your day there, folks. Friday is your day. Hopefully you can bring hundreds if not 1,000 people up to the Capitol for this. All right, so I got to move on to my final question, and it has to do with the timing of everything. As I just mentioned, next Wednesday is opening day of the legislative session. Now, on Monday, the Senate is supposedly going to be taking up this transportation bill and then send it off to the House of Representatives for Tuesday. Boy, these dates butt right up against the opening day of session, as I said a moment ago. But here's the thing. In order to do this, there is a cost to the state of Connecticut of approximately anywhere between $25,000 and $30,000 per day. Why have these two special session days? Why not just take this bill up when the regular session begins and save the state, which we know is not exactly in the best financial situation, but it could save them potentially around $60,000, which I know is a drop in the bucket when you look at the state, you know, budget, but it's every dollar counts in this state.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's just an example of them just trying to rush this through as quickly as possible, because they know that if the regular session begins, then this bill would have to go through the regular process, which would mean that it would have to go through the Transportation Committee, have a public hearing, get voted on multiple times by those committee members, and then sent most likely off to the Finance Committee to go under votes under there as well. So the Democrats want to avoid that situation because they want to take the least amount of votes on it as possible, and they also want the least amount of opportunity for input and changes to be made to the bill for the public to be able to weigh in on it. So there's absolutely, literally no reason whatsoever for us to be being called into special session at this point. Maybe if they did it in November or December, you could make an argument that it could be done then. But right now, we're just literally a couple of days away. And in this case, we'll probably be voting on it just a few short hours before the regular session begins. Yeah. It is an abuse of power by the Democratic Party, by the majority party, to do something like this outside of what our Constitution calls for. And it's really just an affront to their ability to make the rules and do whatever they want, because they are the majority party by a large margin now.
That just enrages me. I'm sure a lot of our listeners. I'm sorry, I've got to ask you a follow-up question, because you mentioned something that's pretty key there, pretty significant. You don't have to disseminate the details of this, because I don't want to compromise any plan especially the House, because the House will get it the day prior, Tuesday, the day before the opening day of the regular session. But is there, this is all you have to answer, you don't have to go into the details, is there a plan going for, you know, on Tuesday for either a filibuster or anything like that to prolong this vote?
Well, Gary, I'm not 100% sure because of the unprecedented nature of having a special session of such a weighty bill, of a bill that has such impact on the state of Connecticut and the future of the state of Connecticut. And we didn't even get into some of the other details about the bill, about how they make a pledge not to toll other cars, but they allow multiple ways to get out of that pledge. And they also only limit it for until 2030. So we all know that the door is going to be wide open in 2030 for all vehicles to be tolled, even if they keep their word with the pledge that's in this bill.
It'll be before 2030 that all motor vehicles are, once they realize that the lack of revenue that they're generating from trucks only, if they can even do that. They're going to find out that it's not. I don't know how Malloy thinks that they can circumvent the trucking industry and what the litigation that's ongoing in Rhode Island, he doesn't think will apply to the state of Connecticut. Maybe he's making an argument, well, Connecticut's more of a cut-through state than Rhode Island is. I don't know what his game plan is, but whatever. All right, Chris, listen, we got to let you go. We have to take a break. You have been so forthright. We really appreciate it. We need to check in with you next week sometime and find out part two of this and how it all went. We really appreciate your time this morning, Chris.
My pleasure, Gary. Have a good morning, Brad and Gary, and we'll talk to you soon.